Yogis who have practiced before have heard about the Four Noble Truths. And if we speak about the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path is automatically included. Sierraji has been speaking about the Eightfold Path as it occurs in practice. But it's good to say specifically how the Four Noble Truths are involved. So the Four Noble Truths, first of all, there's the truth of suffering, the noble truth of suffering, dukkha, saccha. And this category is very broad. Basically, we should understand that this is the whole body. Everything that is happening in the body is dukkha, the truth of suffering. What is happening in the whole body? Well, there's kaya, the physical phenomena arising. And then there's feelings, vedana. And then there's various types of consciousness. And then there's natural phenomena, various natural phenomena or general objects. And these four large groups of things happening in the body is what the Buddha taught. And only if we speak about these individually will it be easy to understand. So today, Sierraji would like to speak about what is dukkha saccha, the truth of suffering. About 1 week into the retreat, Sierraji spoke about this. But at that time, he didn't speak in detail because if he did, it would probably lead to a lot of thinking, perhaps. I forgot how he said it. So he spoke just in terms of the essence at that time. But now it's quite some time now the yogis have been practicing, and the yogis are able to hear it. At this point, if he talks in detail about the truth of suffering, they will be able to accept it. So, among the things happening in the body, there's the physical phenomena, the various forms of rupa, and feelings, and various types of mind, and then natural phenomena, or dhammas. And Sierraji will speak about these one by one. The Buddha himself spoke about the four types of objects that we observe in the Odesa, that is the summary or the outline that is at the beginning of the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. So there's kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. Kaya is the group of physicality, group of physical phenomena. And this is the most obvious type of object. So this is what the Buddha talked about first. And then the second are feelings, good feelings, bad feelings. And then the third is the mind, planning good things, planning bad things. There's various types of mind. And then natural phenomena or dhammas. So these are the four large categories of things that we observe. They're like four large fields for our observation. And within these, we observe the obvious object that arises. And knowing that object is true knowledge. So there are many things that happen in the body, and there are many that are quite subtle. So there's no need to search for subtle objects. One simply needs to observe the obvious object that arises. So one has to understand that. We observe, this means that we note and know. We note so as to know. And when we when we observe the arising object, what we come to know is true knowledge. So here what we are doing is we note the obvious object when it arises with effort and with accurate aim. And sati falls collectedly on the object and knowledge arises. This knowledge is true knowledge. It's not something we know because we imagine it. It's not something we read about. It's not something we heard about from a teacher. And this is true knowledge, and this we are making effort at this point to develop this type of knowledge. When we are hearing about this, we have to listen for ourselves. We shouldn't be thinking about telling this to others when we're listening. That should only come later. Some yogis are giving priority to listening to the Dhamma talks and teachers so that they can teach it to others. They have a lot of desire to teach. At the time of practice, this is not necessary. One should not be giving any priority to this, to the aim of teaching others. One has to work to know for oneself, to know practically, to develop practical experience oneself, and to know the theory. And then one is able to compare what one has experienced in the practice with what is said in the scriptures. And only when one knows for oneself will it be worthwhile to teach it for anybody else. So one should not have any aim of becoming a teacher during this retreat. In this outline, the summary at the beginning of the Satipatthana Sutta, among the four fields of observation that are listed, kaya is described first. And this is because of the Vipassana maxim, yatapakatang vipathana biniveso, which means that Vipassana starts with observation of the obvious object. And therefore, this following the description of anapanasati, observation of the four major postures is the next thing to come in the Satipatthana Sutta, starting with gacchantova, gacchamiti, pasanati. One has to observe the four major postures, sitting, standing, going, and stopping or lying. And one has to always observe these four postures. So in this sitting down, mental and physical phenomena are occurring in a pair. In standing up, they occur in a pair. In going, when we're walking, they occur in a pair. When stopping, these the mental and physical phenomena, nama and rupa, are occurring in a pair. They can't be separated. Due to the intention to sit, sitting down occurs. When the intention to sit is strong enough, then the process of the body sitting down, gradually becoming stiff, heavy, and going downward, bit by bit, occurs. And if we want to know how mental and physical phenomena occur in the moment of sitting down, we have to observe it right when it happens using the mental label of sitting down. For this, we have to have strong effort, and we have to have accurate aim that is in focus with the object. So this is the jhana quality of focusing. So sitting, standing, going, stopping, always note these four. We can't observe sitting down before it happens, and we can't observe it after it happens. Our observation must be accurate. It must be in sync with the object. When sitting, when standing, there are natural phenomena, there are sabhavas that are happening, true nature. And these can't be observed before they arise. The sitting down can't be observed before it happens, and it can't be observed after it happens. It has these, the true nature that happens during the moment of sitting can only be observed at the very moment of the sitting down. An analogy is that during a rainstorm, lightning flashes across the sky. It lights up the sky and it dispels darkness. Lighting up the sky is the characteristic of lightning. It functions to dispel darkness. And it may appear as twisting or crooked or bent in some way. That's its manifestation. These are three ways we know lightning. We may know its characteristic, its function, or its manifestation. So in the same with observing our postures, sitting, standing, going, stopping, always note these four. At the moment of sitting, what sits is the body, intention is mind. Sometimes when we observe the sitting down process, we see how it becomes heavy, soft, and goes down. Sometimes what we know is the mind, the intention to sit down occurring in a series. We can't know both these things at the same time. They can't be separated, but we only know one thing at a time. And when we know one, the other one is automatically known. To know these two in the moment of sitting, in the moment of standing, one has to sit down slowly, stand up slowly, as if we were an invalid, as if we were very sick. The yogi's job is to practice like this. If one moves quickly when changing postures, it will not be easy to know the nature of the Dhamma. In the moment of sitting, the intention to sit down is the mental form of the truth of suffering. The sitting is the physical form of the truth of suffering. So there's mental and there's the truth of suffering, both mental and physical, nama and rupa. And these are happening in the moment of sitting. To know the truth of suffering in the moment of sitting, one has to observe it as it happens. If one knows the mental phenomena at that time, one is knowing the truth of suffering in its mental form. If one knows the physical events that happen in sitting down, one is knowing the physical truth of suffering. If one doesn't observe, then it's dukkha anyanang, not knowing the truth of suffering. And this is avijja, not knowing. When we don't know the mental and physical truth of suffering that occurs at the moment of sitting, then we know wrongly. We think, I'm sitting. Sitting is me. There's a soul that is making me sit. So when one doesn't know, one knows wrongly. So as not to know wrongly, so as to know the truth of suffering when it happens, we have to observe the sitting down as it happens. We need to follow it, observe it, and know it. As now, when one knows the mental and physical form of the truth of suffering in the moment of sitting, one is doing as the Buddha instructed, dukkha jnanam. So one should know the truth of suffering in the nama and rupa that are dukkha. One should have knowledge. So when one knows the truth of suffering, the other three truths are known. So when we know the truth of suffering, when we know nama and rupa that occur in the moment of sitting, then we know there is no soul. There's no self. And at this moment, wrong knowing, knowing in the wrong way, is dispelled. And there's no opportunity for the cause of suffering to arise. That is, there's no opportunity for taking pleasure in the nama and rupa that occur in the sitting, because we are observing it. So the cause of suffering is dispelled. When we say that the cause of suffering is eliminated, we don't mean that it already happens and then we have to get rid of it. It's eliminated by us not giving it a chance to arise. And this is to it a blow. See the truth of suffering and dispel the truth of its cause. Ignorance is stopped because of observation of the object as it is. And there's no craving that can arise, no tanha, and no longing and clinging onto something that follows on craving. So the three elements of the cycle of kilesas, avijja, tanha, upadana, these are stopped, these come to a stop. And this is cessation. This is the truth of cessation in the moment of noting. At this moment, there's no kilesas arising. And furthermore, one isn't performing ordinary kusala. One isn't performing a wholesome deed that will lead to further rebirth, further result. Therefore, the cycle of results, vipakavata, does not revolve. So at this, in this way, the cycles of kilesas, their results, and the kilesas, kama, and results, these three cycles, are stopped. They come to a halt, and this is momentary cessation, tadanga nirodha. This is how the truth of suffering is involved. And when we analyze a moment of noting with the practice, sila is involved. The path factors of sila are involved because we have the intention not to transgress. So the factors of samavacha, right speech, samakamanta, right action, samaaziva, right livelihood, are automatically involved because it's called chetana sila. And because effort is being applied to observe the object as soon as it arises, we have right effort. Sati sticks to the object, so we have right mindfulness. The mind falls collectedly on the object. This is right concentration. So the three factors of the samadhi group of the path are developed. With accurate aim, focusing accurately on the object, and therefore coming to know true nature, the mental, the physical phenomena that happen at that time, the path factors of the wisdom portion of the path, Panya, Magga, are also involved. Therefore, the eight factors of the path are automatically developed through our practice in any given moment. So knowing, dispelling, realizing, developing. Knowing the truth of suffering, dispelling its cause, realizing the cessation of suffering, and developing the path happens in a single moment of practice, and this is four at a blow. As sitting down happens, if one doesn't observe it right then, with respect for the practice and meticulous care, one won't observe the mental and physical phenomena that are really there in that moment. There won't be effort to observe the object, and therefore our mindfulness, sati, will miss. And without sati, our samadhi will become dispersed. So the three factors of the samadhi group will be missing. And without accurate aim, then we'll miss the object, and no knowledge can occur. So the two factors of the panya group, the wisdom group of the path, are also missing at that point. Well, if one hasn't broken one sila, at least one has that. But the fivefold path is missing. When one knows the truth of suffering, then all other three truths are accomplished in that moment. If one is observing the object as it happens, then one is developing the forerunner path, Pobha, Bhaga, Magga, automatically. And this path is what precedes the noble path. This is the path we have to go on before we get to the noble path. So just consider for yourself how valuable this is. It's very valuable. And if one isn't noting carefully, one won't be knowing the truth of suffering, and one won't be dispelling its cause. Those who are working carefully, however, are able to know the truth of suffering as it is, to dispel its cause, the craving, and to develop the path. So now it's been 3 weeks into the retreat, and those who have been working meticulously, who are working meticulously now, are able to practice effectively. But those who are careless, there are still people who are not working carefully, who are working carelessly. And for those, if they continue in this way, it's certainly not likely at all that they're going to be able to see the truth of suffering or dispel its cause in the remaining time. Just as when one sits down, there is a series of intentions followed by movement, physical movement, so too when one stands up from a sitting posture, there's a series of intentions to stand up, and there's a series of physical movements as the body slowly stands up. And before going from sitting to standing, there are many movements that we make, such as moving one leg, taking one leg off from on top of the other, put a supporting on the foot, moving the other leg, supporting on the arms. So one has to observe all the movements that one makes with one's limbs and so on that happen between the sitting down and the going from sitting to standing. One has to observe all these. If we are aware of the feeling of the body being supported on the arms during the process of getting ready to stand up, things like stiffness, tension, heaviness, these are true natural characteristics that can be known at that time. And then there's the body slowly going up, bit by bit, becoming lighter and lighter. So at this time, there's a series of intentions, and there's a series of physical processes involved in standing up. One has to observe respectfully and meticulously in order to know these. And just as in the process of sitting down, so too, when we observe this process of standing up, one can come to know the truth of suffering and to dispel its cause. There are times during the day when one wants to lie down. One might lie down before one goes to sleep or during a rest period. So lying down is that position where the body is stretched out. And when we're lying down, sometimes because of being sore on one side, for example, we roll over. Okay, so rolling over, involved in that, there's the intention to roll over, and then there's the rolling over. And also in stretching out the body to lie down, there's the intention to stretch out, and then the stretching out process. And sometimes we switch from one side to the other. So, two, we have the intention to roll over, and then the series of intentions and series of actions that are involved in rolling the body over from the left side to the right or right to left. If one observed these mental and physical phenomena that are the truth of suffering, if one observes these when they happen and knows them, then the other three truths are accomplished. If one analyzes the moment of awareness in lying down or in rolling over, the Eightfold Path is also present. If one lies down without careful observation, if one rolls over in bed without care, careful attention, then one will miss seeing the truth of suffering, and one will miss developing the path. Sayadawji thinks there are probably a lot of yogis who are missing these moments. And previously he told the yogis to even pay attention to the smallest, to have the aim to pay attention even to the smallest acts such as opening and closing the eyes and blinking them. So if one doesn't do this, then one won't know the truth of suffering, one won't be dispelling its cause, and one won't be developing the path. On the other hand, those who practice carefully know the truth of suffering in their practice, and they are developing the path, and they are getting the benefits. Among the four main postures, two have been covered, sitting and lying. And the other two are going and stopping. So when we go from place to place, sometimes we go observing one step at a time, stepping, stepping. This is sort of the ordinary speed. And then sometimes we go with two-part walking, lifting and placing, observing, lifting and placing. And then sometimes observe three parts, lifting, moving, and placing. And also when yogis are skilled, then one can give them the task of observing six parts, pulling, carrying, lifting up, pulling, bringing, letting go, putting down, and pressing. So this is just for skilled yogis. But for the most part, people are doing one part, two-part, and three-part walking. So in this, when one lifts the foot up, there's the intention to lift, and then lifting. When moving, there's the intention to move the foot, followed by the moving. Putting the foot down, there's the intention to place and the placing. In this, mental and physical phenomena are occurring in pairs, and these are the truth of suffering. At this time, we have to make effort to observe the object right at the moment, and we have to make our aim accurate. And if we do, then we'll observe, for example, that in the lifting, there's pushing up from the bottom and the foot becomes light. In the moving, there may be pushing from behind and pulling from the front. In placing down, the foot becomes heavy and there may be stiffness, hardness, softness. These are all the natural characteristics that may be observed in the moments of lifting, moving, and placing. There's effort to observe the object, awareness, and collectedness of mind. So there's samadhi kanda, the samadhi group of the path. And with accurate aim, there's knowing. So the panya group of the path is fulfilled. Therefore, there's the fivefold path that is present in the moment of effective practice. And in that moment, there's no taking pleasure in the lifting, in the moving, in the placing. Taking pleasure in this doesn't occur. Therefore, the truth of suffering is being dispelled. The forerunner path, Poba Bhaga Mega, is being developed in that moment. So if one isn't careful in observing the walking, the parts of the walking as we go, one won't see the truth of suffering, and one won't be developing the path. One will miss out on the Four Noble Truths. What Sierraji has been speaking about now is the physical truth of suffering, and how when one doesn't know that, then the truth of its cause is not dispelled. And then there's no realization of cessation, momentary cessation, and no development of the path. So it said, not knowing, not noting, not knowing, kilesas come in. But when there's noting and knowing, then kilesas are removed. So if one is working carefully, then just like light arises and dispels the darkness, knowledge arises and dispels ignorance. And when there's knowledge, there can't be any greed, any hatred or delusion, any lobha, dosa, or moha. In the moment that there's knowledge, one is eliminating the roots of the kilesas. So at this point, one's physical, verbal, and mental behaviors are all very clean. They've all become clean through development of the practice and development of knowledge. So through observation of sila, the gross kilesas are eliminated. Through the development of the samadhi group of the path, the medium grade of kilesas are eliminated, and by development of the wisdom portion of the path, the refined grade of kilesas are being eliminated moment by moment. And if one looks at how one's behavior is, or how one's behavior would be if all these three grades of kilesas were being eliminated, then one can see it would be very delightful. Such behavior is very pleasing. So Sierraji makes a wish and hopes that you all will be able to develop this type of beautiful behavior, the cleanliness of physical, verbal, and mental behavior through respectful, meticulous, practice without taking breaks through the remaining, during the time that remains. That's all for today.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.